You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. Egypt's Valley of the Kings was a burial ground for the pharaohs. The most powerful rulers were all buried at this site in beautifully crafted, treasure-filled tombs, including Tutankhamun, or King Tut, Ramses II, and Hatshepsut. But the Valley of the Kings is actually two separate branches, east and west. Despite more than 200 years of excavation in this area, the western Valley of the Kings has remained mostly forgotten, until now. In the biggest Egyptian excavation ever attempted, a team of archaeologists led by world-renowned Egyptologist Dr. Zahi Hawass are going into the western Valley of the Kings to uncover a new chapter in ancient Egypt's most fascinating story. And it's all documented for a new two-hour special from Discovery Plus called Valley of the Kings, The Lost Tombs. Today I'm thrilled to have the legendary Zahi Hawass on the show to talk about this fascinating adventure into Egypt's past. He discusses the logistics of this massive dig in one of Egypt's most unreachable areas, why he believes that the West Valley is rich in undiscovered treasures, and some of the tantalizing clues that may lead him to Egypt's most famous queen, Nefertiti. He shares the most important factor for a successful dig, the role that modern forensic science is playing in identifying mummies, and why even the greatest archaeologist still relies on luck and instinct every now and then. Plus, Dr. Hawass opens up about his efforts to repatriate looted Egyptian artifacts, and he proves that King Tut was not murdered, there is no secret treasure chamber under the Sphinx, and aliens most definitely did not build the pyramids. Coming up with Dr. Zahi Hawass in just a moment. World-renowned archaeologist Zahi Hawass is the former Egyptian Minister of Antiquities and Director of Excavations at Giza, Saqqara, the Bahariya Oasis, and the Valley of the Kings. Dr. Hawass has made a number of major discoveries over the course of his career, including the tombs of the pyramid builders at Giza, the Valley of the Golden Mummies at Bahariya, and multiple pyramids at Giza and Saqqara. He is also the author of many books and appeared in numerous documentaries and television programs, earning him an Emmy Award in 2006. Now he's leading the biggest archaeological excavation ever attempted in Egypt in search of the tomb of a legendary queen in the Western Valley of the Kings, and he's bringing audiences along for the adventure in a new two-hour special called Valley of the Kings, The Lost Tombs, which streams Monday, March 1st on Discovery Plus. Dr. Zahi Hawass, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Dr. Hawass, this is such an honor. I've seen you on, it seems like, 100 different television shows over the years. So you have a storied career. You're world famous now as an archaeologist and in the realm of ancient antiquities in Egypt. I would argue that you're probably the world's most famous Egyptian, or at least the most famous living Egyptian. We're not counting King Tut here.
Thank you.
How did you first get interested in archaeology?
You know, when I was young, I did not really have have nothing to do with archaeology at all. I wanted to be a lawyer, and I wanted to focus on law. But when I bought the books of law, I did not like it. Then I went to Faculty of Arts. I joined the archaeology department without knowing anything about archaeology. I stayed 4 years. Actually, I did not like studying archaeology.
Really?
I finished in the age of 19 and a half. I did have a job, which anyone can have. It's a government job, an inspector of antiquities at the antiquities department. But I did not like the people around me. Then I thought that I should leave. I tried to be a diplomat. I failed. I came back to the Department of Antiquities, and the head of antiquities decided to send me to do excavations. While I was sitting in my tent, one of the workmen came to me to say that they found a tomb. I went to the tomb. The head of the workmen began to teach me how to excavate the tomb. In the middle of the tomb, I found a statue. I began to clean the statue. I said, I found my love. And that was the passion that I had to make me really go in the field of archaeology and make the adventures that I do. Just yesterday, I was in my excavation at Saqqara. I'm working near the pyramid of Teti, the first king of Dynasty Six. And actually, I entered inside a shaft about 150 feet deep down. And I do that because of the passion that I have for archaeology.
So it sounds like you really enjoy being in the field and being involved in a dig rather than sitting in office or a museum.
I'm excavating now in the Valley of the Kings and in Saqqara. And in about on the 17th of this month of March, I'm going to make another big announcement in the Valley of the Kings. Big one.
Oh, wow. Great. Yeah, that's exciting. And your new special on Discovery Plus covers a lot of what you've been working on in the Valley of the Kings.
The Discovery film actually is going to show the largest excavation ever happened in the Valley of the Kings after Howard Carter. More than 100 workmen, and we really removed blocks of stones and sand. It was the most incredible excavation ever happened in the history of the Valley of the Kings after Howard Carter.
It's interesting that you bring up Howard Carter, because in the special, it seems like you still have sort of a mild obsession with Howard Carter, the legendary man who discovered King Tutankhamun's tomb.
I agree. You know, he's like my favorite archaeologist, actually.
Really?
And I really liked his passion and how he was keen in working, and he thought that he was going to discover the tomb, and he found the tomb. And this really is my passion also, the same. I'm still working in the Valley of the Kings. And I told you, I'm going to announce a big discovery again on the 18th and another big discovery soon.
It's interesting. It's been over 100 years, I think, since that discovery. And yet King Tut, I mean, he's really been the greatest ambassador for Egypt all over the world. I think that discovery kicked off this Western obsession with Egyptology that's lasted to this very day.
Yeah, you know, it's 1 year from now. In November 4th, 2022, will be 100 years of the discovery.
Wow.
And I wrote an opera called Opera Tutankhamun.
Really?
And that opera will be shown in the centennial of the celebration that we'll do in the opening of Cairo, of the Grand Museum, because we are going to open the Grand Museum at the end of this year. It is the largest museum in the world. And the star in this museum is King Tut.
How exciting. Now, Tutankhamun's tomb famously had a curse inscribed at the entrance, and supposedly many of the original dig team died shortly thereafter, some say under mysterious circumstances. I wonder, have you ever uncovered a tomb with a curse, and are you superstitious about that sort of thing?
You know, I want to tell you, that was not true.
Really?
No. You know, because Lord Carnarvon gave exclusive rights to London Times to write about the discovery. Then the other reporters had nothing to do. Then when Lord Carnarvon died, 5 months after the discovery, the reporters began to create stories. That's not true. Oh. There is no curse in the tomb at all.
Okay.
Actually, and this is why people always believe in the curse. When I did go to examine the mummy of Tutankhamun, many things happened to me. Like in the same day, the husband of my sister died, and a big storm happened in the valley, and the scanning machine that I had to scan the mummy stopped, and people talked about the curse.
Oh,
there
really?
Is nothing called the real story about the curse. If you close a room 3,000 years, inside this room, there is a mummy. The mummy will make germs that you cannot see. Archaeologists in the past, they were in a hurry. When they entered the tomb, they were hit by the germs and they died.
Oh,
what
wow.
I do today, okay. I open the tomb until the bad air will go out and the fresh air will go in, and there is nothing called the curse of the pharaohs.
Interesting. Well, then that makes me want to fact check some other popular assumptions about archaeology and Egyptology, because, you know, many people have likened you to a modern day Indiana Jones. You even have the brown fedora hat. And I think Indiana Jones has inspired more kids to go into your field than anything else. But I wonder how accurate is that? In your years as an archaeologist, have you ever encountered things like booby traps that we see in the movies?
No.
No,
you know, but still, I told you to go inside a shaft 150 deep down the ground. It's an adventure. Actually, there is many accidents happened to me during my career that makes people, you know, when I go with my hat and my jeans, people create the stories about me and they say, I look like Indiana Jones. And I, even George Lucas, he came to meet me in Cairo.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about why my hat is more famous than Harrison and Ford hat. And I told him my hat is the real archaeology hat, and the Harrison and Ford hat is the fig one.
That's funny. Now, by my count, you have led at least 30 major excavations in your career. What are some of your greatest discoveries so far?
You know, I really think the greatest discovery that I made is what Discovery Channel is going to announce on March 1st. This is big one.
Yeah.
Because we found major important things. We found 45 big workshops. First time in the Valley of the Kings that you actually discover workshops for making gold, furniture, pottery. And also we found a cachette of mummification. A cachette that when the mummy arrived in the Valley of the Kings, they do makeup for the mummies.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the mummification workshop. And also I found an area that they make all the small things that they put it above the coffin. And we discovered a tomb, KV65. Inside this tomb, we found the tools that the ancient Egyptian used to construct a tomb. And also the tombs of the pyramid builders that I found that proves to the world that the builders of the pyramids were Egyptians and they were not slaves. And the other discovery, the Valley of the Golden Mummies in Bahriya Oasis. I found a big valley of mummies covered with gold.
The tombs of the pyramid builders at Giza. And I think you say that that is, in your mind up to now, is your favorite discovery that you've had. Is that true? And why
is
that? Why not the royal mummies or the golden mummies? Why,
you know,
why just the simple workers?
The reason, because I'm debating many people who do not really understand pyramids. They create non-true stories. Something look like Elon Musk, who announced that aliens built pyramids.
Right,
you have
aliens.
Many people who believe of lost civilization. But when I found the tombs of the pyramid builders, that was an important discovery to tell the whole world that the builders of the pyramids were Egyptians and they were not slaves.
Yeah.
Because the discovery found in the shadow of the Great Pyramid of Khufu.
I wonder, as an Egyptian, do you get a little bit insulted when people suggest that the ancient Egyptians couldn't have possibly built these amazing buildings?
No, at all. I always say, if anyone who never studied archaeology or Egyptology and stood in front of the Great Pyramid of Khufu, mm-hmm. and he knows nothing about Egyptology, he will wonder how they did it. And he will create many stories. But if you study Egyptology, you'll understand. 3 years ago, a major papyri was found. It's called the Wadi al-Jarf papyri, was found in the Red Sea. It tells us about the construction of the Great Pyramid of Khufu, a story in hieroglyphic. It tells us about a workman, an overseer of the workmen, who actually lead a team of 40 workmen to cut the stones for building the pyramids. Then you have facts. But when you talk about aliens, it's a myth.
Right.
It's not true. There is nothing. But I laugh always. I never feel insulted because of that.
Okay. Yeah, and I have actually myself stood at the base of the Great Pyramid or the Pyramid of Khufu. I've been to your country, and I'm just completely amazed. I always tell people, it's impossible to truly appreciate the scale of that pyramid from a photograph or a television show. There's just no way to really comprehend the size until you're standing at the base and you see how big each of those stones is.
I know, but this is... the Great Pyramid doesn't stand by itself. We have 124 right. pyramids in Egypt. But the Great Pyramid could be the largest. And the one of his father in Dahshur is as equal as the Pyramid of Khufu.
Interesting.
And when did you come to Egypt to visit?
It's been probably 10 years ago at least. So it's been some
time.
And
you are based, where are you? Where do you live?
I live in Los Angeles.
Oh,
so it's a long
my favorite
flight.
City.
Really?
I was the summer of 2019 invited by the Getty, and I taught at UCLA for 5 summers.
Oh, really? Oh, great. Wow.
Then Los Angeles is my second favorite city after Cairo.
Yeah, I just am amazed by Egyptology, and I've been to Luxor and, of course, the pyramids, but there's just so much to see there. And it's interesting that you said that pyramid, the Great Pyramid or the Pyramid of Khufu, you said may be the biggest. You think that there may be pyramids yet to be discovered that could be bigger?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because it cannot be. There is nothing like this. I found in my career small pyramids of queens. Mm. I'm excavating now near a pyramid of queen that I found. You can discover small pyramids like 20, 50 feet high, but you will never discover a pyramid with the height of Khufu to be buried under the sand.
Now, adjacent to the Great Pyramid, you have, of course, the Sphinx at Giza, and a lot of people believe that there's some kind of treasure chamber buried under that.
No.
What do you think about that?
You know, I excavated around the Sphinx, and I found 4 tunnels inside mm-hmm. the Sphinx. One behind the Dream Stela, and the second one in the top behind the head, go down for about 20 feet, and the one in the tail goes down for 45 feet inside the body of the Sphinx, and one in the north side. And we found evidence that those tunnels were cut on the late period, about 500 BC, by the people who actually had ideas that the Sphinx could contain treasures. But we dated the tunnels based on in situ pottery to say that the tunnels dated back 2,500 years ago. But there is really nothing is hidden underneath the Sphinx that many people believe. I did drill underneath the Sphinx. 32 drilling goes down for about 30 to 40 feet. And I proved that the Sphinx was a solid rock and a living rock. And there is nothing is hidden under the Sphinx.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll return with more when we come back in just a moment. I think it's hard even for many of us to comprehend just how long the period of what we think of it as ancient Egypt was. I mean, there were 2,500 years between the pyramids and Cleopatra. Do you have a favorite era or dynasty within ancient Egyptian history?
Dynasty 4. Khufu is my favorite king. Many people, when they make interviews with me, they say, if you lived in the past, what would you like to be? I say Khufu. Khufu is my favorite king. I lived in front of the Great Pyramid for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I wrote books about him. My favorite I wrote my doctoral dissertation at the University of Pennsylvania about the pyramids of Khufu and Giza. Then Khufu is my favorite, and Dynasty IV is my favorite time.
Well, I want to talk some more about this new special. The Valley of the Kings is, of course, where many of the pharaohs and queens of Egypt have been buried, and it's a very popular tourist attraction today. This is the setting for the new special, Valley of the Kings, The Lost Tombs. First of all, how many royal tombs have been found overall in the Valley of the Kings, and who are some of the most famous Egyptians there?
In the Valley of the Kings, there are 65 tombs now. Yes, and there is about 20 tombs for kings.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Valley of the Kings, the king can bury anyone. We have Amenhotep II, who actually buried his domesticated animals beside his tomb. Huh. We have Amenhotep III, who gave the order to the father and the mother of Queen Ti, his queen, to be buried in the valley. Then not only every king was buried in the valley, but there is certain kings that their tombs were not found yet, like Amenhotep I, Thutmose II, Ramses VIII. All the queens and the sons and the daughters of the kings of Dynasty 18 were buried somewhere in the Valley of the Kings. Wow. And this is what I'm searching for. I'm working now on the West Valley and the East Valley. In the West Valley, which the special is talking about, buried Amenhotep III and I, who came to the throne after the death of Tutankhamun. On the East Valley is the famous tomb of Tutankhamun that right now I'm excavating, revealing the secret of the valley. Then maybe soon you're going to hear about big discovery. Another big discovery than the special.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the East Valley is where, up till now, most of the discoveries have been. Is the West Valley largely untouched? You mentioned only two tombs there so far.
That's exactly. I am the first archaeologist who made this big, major discovery that the audience all over the world will hear about it in Discovery Channel on March 1st.
I don't want to give away too much, but in the special, you're specifically searching for the tomb of the Egyptian queen Nefertiti. What can you tell us about who she was?
You know, Nefertiti was the most important queen because she was married to Akhenaten. She moved from Thebes, from Luxor, to live with her husband in Tell el Amarna. It's a special city that no other gods ever touched. She bore 6 daughters of from Akhenaten, and we know that Tutankhamun was not her son. And you know, she disappeared sometime in the life of Akhenaten, and we think that she was the co-regent of Akhenaten. This is why she changed her name. And I do believe that she really ruled as a king, because we have one scene of her showing her smiting an enemy. And smiting an enemy is a task of a king, not of a queen. And therefore, I think that she became a king and it changed her name to Semenekhkara.
And I find it sort of interesting that Nefertiti, and I think much of King Tutankhamun's royal bloodline, you theorize, was buried in the West Valley while his tomb was in the East Valley. Why do you suppose that is?
Yeah, Amenhotep III was buried in the West Valley, but Tutankhamun buried in the East Valley. And because he was buried, he died suddenly.
Okay.
And therefore he used a tomb that already was made for King Ai.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that there is no way that they could construct a tomb for someone who's buried in 70 days during the mummification process. He died in the age of 19. You know, I did scan the mummy of Tutankhamun. And we found out that he died in the age of 19. He was not healthy. He had a flat foot. The blood did not go to his fingers. And he suffered from malaria. And this is why I think that he had infection. And maybe he died when he was riding the chariot, hunting wild animals in the desert of Memphis. Because he lived in Memphis. Huh. He did not live in Thebes.
Mm-hmm. So you don't buy into the theory that he was murdered?
No, at all. Yeah. We have evidence now that the wound that he had in his head was not of a plow, was not of an axe. it was opened in Dynasty 18 to put the liquid for mummification.
Ah, I see. I'm curious, are forensics playing a bigger role in archaeology in terms of what we can do with CT scans and DNA testing now? Specifically, you know, with mummies.
I did lead the Egyptian mummy project, and I did scan 22 royal mummies. All these royal mummies will leave Cairo Museum soon in a parade to go to the Civilization Museum. Only last week, I did make an announcement of a big discovery on the mummy of Sekhen Ra. And Sekhen Ra was the king who started the struggle against the Hyksos. The Hyksos occupied Egypt for more than 150 years. And he's the first king who really started the campaign against them. But they captured him, and they tied him, and they hit him 7 wounds in his head. And this is what we discovered and announced it last week.
Wow. Now, I don't want to give away too much again, but you do find some tantalizing clues in your search in the Western Valley. One of those is, I don't want to say who it might be, but it's a royal mummy. I'm curious, how do you tell a royal mummy from any other ancient Egyptian mummy?
No, the mummies that we discover, if it's royal, it has features like the head, the hands should be crossed like this.
Oh, okay.
And also the features and the style of mummification should be different.
Okay.
We can identify royal mummies easy.
Okay.
From ordinary mummies.
I feel like I should know this, and maybe this is a stupid question, but why did Egyptians mummify their dead? What did they believe that that would do?
Because you have to know that I always say that the belief of the afterlife made the Egyptian built Egypt. Because the belief of the afterlife made them to build pyramids, tombs, temples for the worship of the gods. And to be mummified, then they can live safely for a long time in the field of Iaro, which is paradise of ancient Egypt.
And now, one of the reasons that the Western Valley of the Kings has been left largely untouched is because of the difficulty of getting there.
You know, thanks to Discovery Channel, that really funded my excavations for 3 years. And I was able, from the fund that they gave us, to make this big, major work and make this big, major discovery. Without the fund, the big fund, because all archaeologists cannot excavate in the West Valley because it's difficult and it costs a lot of money. But right. I was able to fund the excavation by Discovery Channel and make this big, important discoveries that the whole world will see, and they will sit in front of the TVs with magic and a thrill to see the adventure in archaeology.
And I think you mentioned a moment ago that this is the largest archaeological excavation in at least 100 years, maybe ever. Give me an idea of the number of people and logistics of this dig.
I had like 100 workmen to move the stones and excavate, and I had a team assisting me, about 12 people. Archaeologists and people who study pottery and people who study bones and things like that.
Now tell me a little about your team. How long have you been working with some of these people?
You know, these people, I trained them since I became the head of antiquities in 2002. Mm-hmm. I made the excavation schools to teach them how to excavate. And I'm very, really proud to announce that my expedition was completely Egyptian. I did not have any foreign team in my team. And I'm very proud that these young people made this major discovery that the world will see on the 1st of March.
And I was rather amazed that this massive excavation was still very much reliant on manpower. I didn't see a lot of heavy machinery.
You know, you can use technology with mummies, with radar, but still, to excavate, you still have to do the old style of an axe hitting in the ground and put sand in baskets and move stones. And that's really the action of the excavation.
It strikes me that in a lot of ways, this might not be very different to how ancient Egyptians built these tombs.
Yes, you know, we know that as I told you, their belief in the afterlife, we had workmen and lived in there in Medina, and those are the workmen who really began to cut the tomb for every king. Mm-hmm. And they decorate the tombs with beautiful scenes, all the scenes to help the this is the king to go safely to the afterlife, like the Book of the Dead and the Book of the Gates and the Book of the Day and the Book of the Night and scenes of the king in front of gods and goddesses and things like that.
What is the secret of a successful dig?
I really believe that the secret of a successful dig, if the head of the team has passion, and I do have passion, passion could help in making all these major discoveries that you will see on the 1st of March.
And when you're searching for a tomb in this vast valley, it's a little bit like looking for a needle in a haystack. How much of your job and your success at it is knowing where to dig, is the research and experience versus luck?
It depends on your research. Like in the Valley of the Kings, you do not need to do research. You know that the kings of Dynasty 18 until Dynasty 20th were buried in the Valley of the Kings. And we have missing kings. Then I started my work to look for the missing kings and to announce that I'm searching for the tomb of Queen Nefertiti and her daughter Anches in Amun, the widow of Tutankhamun.
How much of your job is just gut instinct?
You know, I always, some of my discoveries came by accident.
Really?
Like some people are cultivating or building a house and will discover something. But most of my excavation really came through research, like the tombs of the pyramid builders, like my work in the Valley of the Kings. But what came by accident is the Valley of the Golden Mummies. It's completely accident.
Oh, really?
Then it depends on the type of the excavation that you do.
You had to suspend this dig in the Western Valley. I'm assuming this was last summer due to heat, right?
Yeah, I always stop my excavation in May 1st.
Okay.
And begin again on September 1st.
Okay. So does that mean that you are digging again in the Western Valley now?
I'm working now, not through Discovery Channel. I'm working through other channels now in the West Valley and the East Valley.
Okay.
And we're working also inside the tomb of Ramses II.
Oh, great.
And we found major important things inside the tomb of Ramses II.
Amazing. And in addition to your work as an archaeologist and with conservation, you've been a leader in the effort to repatriate looted Egyptian artifacts that are in museums and private collections around the world. Tell us about that.
I returned 6,000 artifacts from everywhere. And it was really my dream to return back the bust of Nefertiti from Berlin and the Rosetta Stone from the British Museum and the Zodiac from the Louvre. But, you know, I was not really able to return them back. But I have to tell you that Homeland Security in the States are the most important people who really helped me in returning many stolen artifacts. I have to give credit to them.
Interesting. What is the process like of trying to repatriate an artifact? Do you have to guilt another country or guilt someone?
Of course, you have to guilt a museum. If you find in a museum there is a stolen artifact, I have to take the process of returning this artifact, sometimes by law, sometimes by force. Sometimes I announce if this museum will not return a stolen artifact, they will never work in Egypt. I used things like this until I returned 6,000 artifacts back to Egypt.
And you're also probably Egypt's greatest ambassador for tourism. Egypt experienced some instability during and immediately following the Arab Spring in 2011. And that had a devastating impact on tourism, which is, of course, the country's largest industry. Obviously, it's been impacted again by the pandemic. But I wonder, prior to COVID, had tourism largely recovered by 2019?
I want to throw you to tell the whole people now in America that Egypt now is safe, even with the coronavirus.
It's
completely safe. You can go in the site. There is no one there. You can, in the hotels, you have all the protections. And I do have an American group coming actually on the 2nd of March to Egypt.
Okay, great.
I'm giving it when an American group comes by, I give them lectures, two in the hotel, one in front of the Sphinx, one at the tombs of the pyramid builders, and one inside Luxor Museum at night.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Well, if any of my listeners ever travel to Egypt, I really encourage them to do so. It is an amazing place. And if they go there, of course, they'll go to the pyramids and the Luxor Temple. What are some places that are overlooked, perhaps, that you would suggest they visit?
Of course, they go to Saqqara, Giza, Cairo Museum, and they take beautiful cruise from Luxor and visit Edfu, Kabombo, Aswan, Abu Simbel. It's amazing, 2 weeks. It's magic for everyone to come to Egypt. And we're going to open the Grand Museum that is the largest cultural museum in the world.
Wow, that's very exciting. Something to look forward to. I hope to go back soon.
Thank you very much.
Well, once again, the special is called Valley of the Kings, The Lost Tombs. It's a 2-hour special that streams Monday, March 1st on Discovery Plus. Dr. Zahi Waas, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy to meet you, and I hope when I come to Los Angeles to see you.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Dr. Zahi Waas for coming on the show. Valley of the Kings, The Lost Tombs is now streaming only on Discovery Plus. Keep up with Dr. Waas at drhawass.com. That's drhawass, HAWASS.com. If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and rate and review us while you're there. 5-star ratings and detailed reviews are one of the best ways for new listeners to discover the show. You can also follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at @KickAssNewsPod and recommend us to your friends on your social media. For more fun stuff, visit kickassnews.com, and I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News.